You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium. This is episode 16.5, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. Today here at the Podium, we have two press conferences. First up is defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. First question he fielded was about some of the fourth quarter dips in performance that has plagued this defense this year. One of the reasons he suggested was depth, and we're not just talking about secondary or linebacker depth. Obviously, one of the factors with depth is the defensive line rotation, which has taken a hit this year with the core front four guys, which is really three guys with a situation along the interior. They're taking a higher percentage of snaps this year. Looking at that real briefly, Fletcher Cox goes from 59% snaps to 80%. Brandon Graham 64% to 72%. Chris Long is up 10%. So he's definitely got a case there. Either way, Schwartz has got to find a way to improve late in games if this team expects to make a playoff run. That's if they get there, of course. Quick side note, he also showed some love to Cravon LeBlanc, who has been filling in at nickel corners, saying that he's played his way into a role in 2019, which I agree with. Dude has been solid. Next up in the press conferences was offensive coordinator Mike Groh. He fielded questions, of course, about Carson Wentz, plus Nelson Agholor regarding their little argument on the sideline in the Texans game, and much more. So two preview shows coming up next for Bleeding Green Nation. Keep it locked here. But for now, let's go to the podium.
Awesome. That's my new thing this year. Awesome. All right, what you guys got?
Jim, I would imagine you've looked ad nauseum at some of the fourth quarter struggles you've had this season. Is there a common thread that's run through them that you've seen?
No, I mean, every game's different. I mean, I think one thing that's, that might be similar is that that depth has been an issue for us this year. So maybe that's affecting us later in the game. I mean, that's no excuse, but the way games go, there's going to be ebbs and flows to every game. There's going to be big plays early in the game. There's going to be times that you give up plays early in the game that maybe get overlooked. End of the game is just so much more scrutinized, and it's so much more critical. I thought I was more disappointed in our last game with the touchdown we gave up when we had to go on the field at the 5-yard line, one play, and we missed a quarterback. And, that's one of those situations, there's a huge turning point. We can hold them to a field goal right there, which we ended up doing. I guess it was middle of the third quarter. It was 16-13, and we took the field at midfield. And we went 3 and out. And I really think that was where the game was really critical. If we had given up a touchdown there and gone down 2 scores middle of the third quarter, that would have been tough sledding. But, got a stop on a 4th down. And then we had to go back on the field and didn't get the job done in those times. I mean, it's football. The quarterback made an insane play on one of those. We got plenty of opportunities to get him stopped even before he makes those kind of plays. Just got to keep battling.
Jim, Malcolm's played, I think, all but one play. How valuable is that durability as you guys are dealing with all these injuries, his leadership?
Yeah, we talked about the depth. We like to rotate guys probably a little bit more than we've been able to rotate them up front. But, you know, guys in the back end generally don't get chances to rotate. I mean, it was very similar last year with Malcolm. You know, some of his plays that he missed last year were because we were way ahead and we took him out of the game. He's played a multitude of positions for us. He's a veteran player, means a lot to our leadership. And, you know, he really, his ability to hold things together in the secondary has really been important to us because he's been our constant. You know, there's been changes at just about every single other person, but he's the guy that's been out there through it all. And, you know, our ability to, you know, get some wins in the last few games has a lot to that, a lot to you know, that consistency that he gives us.
Have you had a player like Avante before who's been this versatile and go to different positions this early? And how do you determine where that guy is best suited long term?
Yeah, it reminds me of Courtland Finnegan. I had Finney early, was first couple of years in his career in Tennessee, came in and played nickel, and then moved outside the corner, could switch back and forth. He was a good tackler, he had speed. Similar size, toughness. You know, Finnegan didn't play safety for us, but he played safety in college. So he had a lot of that same, those same kind of attributes. You know, like I just got done talking about Malcolm, and one of his strengths is that he can play so many positions. I don't look at it as a problem with Avante. You know, we'll figure out, you know, what's best for him, what's best for us. Over the course of his career, but that flexibility is very helpful from a defensive standpoint.
Josh Johnson's been on 12 different teams, hasn't played any for about 5 years, but does he have the kind of athletic ability that can present problems?
Yeah, most quarterbacks in the NFL do now. He's made a lot of big plays the last couple of weeks. You know, almost led him to two victories over the last 2 weeks that he's been a starter. You know, big win against Jacksonville and was driving the team late and, you know, had an unfortunate interception, you know, late in the Tennessee game. But his ability to keep plays alive with his feet, similar to what we've seen from a lot of guys this year, you know, from Cam Newton to Deshaun the Watson, and now this week, you know, so that'll certainly be part of the equation. But that's really not the only thing. He's made some really nice throws. You can see the fact that he's been around the NFL for a long time. You know, those guys that have been with different teams, he's very composed, knows how to run their offense. And, you know, there's a reason that he was on, even though he didn't play a lot, there was a reason he kept catching on with another team. It's because he's talented, and we're going to have our work cut out for us.
What did the big nickel give you versus the base?
Which?
Against Houston.
Oh, against Houston. Wow. You know, that's been a constant for us over the last couple of years. And our safety situation didn't always sort of allow for it over the course of the year. But, you know, getting Corey Graham back and getting Trey Sullivan some playing time. And then we talked about Malcolm doing those things. Just gives you flexibility. I mean, you look at our offense and the way we use our tight ends, they can be inline blockers. They can also be wide receivers. You know, I mean, you guys have talked about that a bunch, about 12 personnel. Well, if you have multidimensional players on offense, you need multidimensional players on defense. That package doesn't work if our safeties aren't good tacklers, if our safeties can't play in the box and can also play outside. So, you know, that flexibility is a big part of it to minimize some of the matchups that the offense is trying to get.
Jim, what is Chris Long giving you to you on and off the field? Does he particularly?
Yeah, I'll just stay on the field because off the field, I mean that's I mean you could probably spend 2 hours talking about that, not just on our team, but in the community and over the course of his career. You know, he's really been the epitome of a pro player. Very unselfish player. And he's made big plays for us when it's counted. Last year, that was certainly true. And then this year, that's been true. You know, that talked about our fourth down stop, but that sack strip, Houston hadn't turned the ball over very often. And that sack strip and getting the offense the ball at midfield, get two sacks in an important game against a first-place team late in the season, you know, that was a great performance from him.
Is it rare that when two 30-plus-year-old defensive ends get more snaps, they actually seem to get better?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different things to go into that. I still think it would be more ideal to be able to keep guys better rested through the course of the game, but they've been up for it. They're both pros, and I put Brandon Graham in there, even though he's technically not. I don't think he's over that 30 year. Oh, he did. Okay, so all those guys do a good job taking care of themselves, being available to play on a weekly basis. They've all battled injuries. You know, Mike went out of the game early this career. Chris earlier this year came back and helped us lead us to a win. Chris Long had the same thing last week. Those guys know what time it is. They know that they need to be available for their team, and they do everything they can to make themselves available to make those kind of plays for us.
And how important was it to get Jordan Hicks back in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't back full speed, but he was back, and you know, we've had that situation before where guys are able to come back. I think it was Avante the week before against the Rams. He wasn't full speed, but he was back, and that presence meant a lot to us. Jordan's a really important part of our defense, not just from a playing standpoint, from a leadership and a play calling standpoint. You know, so it was certainly good to get him back on the field in I guess you'd say limited role that he was out there. You know, it was a little tough for him later in that game. He got a little bit fatigued, but always good to have those guys back out there.
As you follow up to that, has Jordan taken the step or given you what you were hoping for this year from him?
Oh, well, the end of season questions, I mean, I think that does a little too much. You know, I don't want to say disrespect, but it takes away from our focus this week with Washington. You know, we're going to have to go play our best in Washington. And then after that, hopefully we're still playing. And then after that, when we're finished playing, we can talk about season in the whole. But like I said, Jordan's an important guy to our defense. You know, he's battled some injuries this year. You know, that's just where we are right now.
You got no contributions from three guys that you picked up midseason, particularly last week against the Texans, and Trayvon and Trayvon Hester and Deshaun Hall. What have you seen from those guys? And I know you just said like you don't want to look forward to the future, but did they put themselves in a good position?
Well, I mean, I don't think that's looking forward. That's just saying what they're doing for us right now. You know, they've all been guys that, you know, didn't have teams at the beginning of the year. And they've all stepped in and contributed in some way. And that's what this league is all about, getting an opportunity and contributing. You know, I think, Crayvon in particular has really solidified that nickel. That nickel position is a really important position. And it's a tough position to play. You have to be a combination of a lot of things. He's been a good tackler for us. He's been tough. He's been quick. He's been able to play zone. He's been able to play man. You know, so all those things go into that spot. He also had a little bit of experience, too. You know, I played that position for Chicago last year. You know, so that had helped get him, you know, sort of up to speed. But I think that's probably been the biggest one. Trey made a big play in this game, and Hall made a big play in this game. Hall hasn't had very many opportunities, but only had four snaps in the game, but came up with a half a sack. And I'm going to speak for Phipp, but I've enjoyed watching him run down on kickoffs too. I mean, he's played hard, and that big body on kickoffs and special teams he's found a way to contribute. So that's another tip of the hat to him.
So the corners are primarily evaluated on their coverage ability, but your guys have done a good job with the tackling, particularly after you had to dig deep for you know, into your depth. How important has that been?
Well, it's just limiting big plays. Every position has to be able to tackle. A lot of the run game now is geared toward putting hats on guys inside, double teaming guys inside, and leaving corners unblocked. And if you can't make a tackle, you're going to look bad on defense. You know, I think you're probably right. Those guys have solidified that. We haven't always been great at that over the course of the season, but over the last few games, I think you've seen significant improvement there. You know, Russell has really tackled well for us, not just in the run game, but in the passing game. Made that big fourth down tackle, played zone defense, made him throw up at throw short. You know, there's a lot of different philosophies and everything else, but when you play zone defense, it only works if you have the discipline to stay deep, make them throw short, but then you can also step up and make the tackle. It doesn't do any good to, you know, make them throw short if they can run for the first down. But, you know, I think that's been a big rallying point. We mentioned Cravon, and then Avante has also been a strong tackler for us, has made a couple big stops.
Two more, please. Coach, if things don't work out for you guys this weekend the way they need to, there's going to be outside of this place a fair amount of could've, would've, should've, could've when it comes to the Tennessee and Carolina games. How much of that, if at all, occurs inside the building? If things would have gone differently in those Tennessee and Carolina games.
Yeah, I mean, those end of season questions I'll just leave for the end of season. I mean, we're critical of our performance every week. So we don't wait until the end all of a sudden say, okay, we should have done this or, you know, could have done this. I mean, we're evaluating not just after every day of practice, we're evaluating in between series of games and things like that. You know, I noticed guys have tried their very best over the course of the year. I've been proud of the effort that we've gotten from our guys. It hasn't always been consistent, but I think they've battled and we're in a position this week that that we need to go out and get a win against Washington team that you know, that has played a couple close games against a couple good teams over the last couple weeks. Okay.
First time we played them. Different quarterbacks. You mentioned Josh a little bit. Have they changed offensively? I know Jay Moore, if you think to the regular, going back to the start of the season, losing Geis, bringing in Peterson, shifting his offensive philosophy, has he had to do that again?
You know, there's been some subtle changes, I think. I think their run game has, or they're not running anything different than they didn't run. They're not running anything that they didn't run early in the season. They've just accentuated a little bit more. I mean, you have a mobile quarterback. Their run game has evolved over the course of the season. They're sort of playing to what Adrian Peterson's strengths are. He's more of a north-south vertical runner. They've run some of those kind of things. I think that's just coaching in general. You sort of morph over the course of the season. You find out what your formula is. You know, when they went through four quarterbacks in 2 weeks or whatever, I think, yeah, about 3 weeks, four quarterbacks in 3 weeks, you know, it's tough to find that formula. But over the last couple of weeks, I think we got a pretty good handle of what they're trying to do. And, you know, we got some good players we have to stop, starting with Adrian Peterson. You know, one thing that maybe flies a little bit under radar was Houston was a really good running team. And running back aside, they had success with all the running backs they had put in there. And our ability to get the run stopped in that game, you know, allowed us to I want to say it kept them from controlling the tempo of the game. So I think that had a lot to do with that. And we're going to have to do the same thing this week against Washington. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Hold those down.
Sorry I'm late. We had a little extended walkthrough there, so pushed it back a little bit.
Hey, Mike, last year when Carson was hurt, I know that his injury limited how much he was allowed to be around the team because of mobility issues. This year, that's not the case. So what's been the difference with him around the team, and how much is he able to contribute even though he's not playing?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously a guy as experienced and as smart as Carson is and has a perspective on everything, playing the position, and you know, does an excellent job and studying the opponents and finding certain things each and every week. So he's been able to add value there, certainly be a sounding board for the other quarterbacks in the room and, you know, be able to talk to them during the course of the game. So, you know, that's you can't underestimate the value of that.
I know my balls is just not getting back, but how would you like, or do you have any expectations for?
I don't. You know, we just got to get out there. We've had a couple walkthroughs, so really haven't seen him do anything, but excited to see him back out there. It's nice to see him in his jersey again.
You said up here before the most important thing a quarterback can do is win the game. Why do you think Nick, over the years, has had so much success
I don't know. I'd probably have to take more than 2 seconds to reflect on that. But winning is a combination of a lot of factors. Certainly Nick is a big part of that. But a lot of guys and a lot of plays go into that. So collectively as a unit, you know, we've made enough plays to be able to score enough points to win the games in the end. And, you know, certainly the quarterbacks always get a lot of credit for that and deservedly so. Nick has played at a high level, and I think the guys, you know, around him are making plays for him.
Is that a quarterback stat, you think, the win-loss record?
No, it's a team stat. Yeah.
Did he do that on his own, or was that through the radio helmet?
He made the play, but that's something that we have built in that we're looking for that specific look, and you got to give him a lot of credit because he has to recognize it in that instant. He's got to get it communicated, and then you know the other 10 guys out there have to have what we say is reflexive recall, and that means that it's driven down so deep into their brain that in a moment. Right, and he gives them one signal that they can change, switch gears from the play that was called, and get into the play like they did. And then the guys made a great play, great throw, the protection, and then Nelly tracking that ball.
What was the look that
it was called? Specific coverage. Yeah.
What was the conversation with you and Nelson and Coach Brewer as you guys were coming into the locker room?
Just Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
But in a pointed fashion.
No, I mean, Nelly and I have a tremendous relationship. So much love and respect between Nelly and myself. So it's an emotional game. And he zigged. I thought he should have zagged. And we talked about it for 30 seconds, and that was it. Really, that was it.
Why do Nick and Alshon seem to have this chemistry?
I don't know the specific answer to that. I think they both have a lot of confidence in one another, and you know, Nick's throwing a couple balls up where, you know, Alshon's one of those kind of guys that can only make a couple of those kind of plays. So, and he's been able to do that, and came up big for us and at the end of the game last week on climbing the ladder there on third down. So, I just think that they have a lot of confidence in one another.
It seems like defenses are keying in on Josh in the running game. Whenever he's out there, just because he's not used in the passing game so often, how can you take advantage of that moving forward?
He's not using the passing game.
Well, no, but he's not used as a receiver very often. It seems like teams are.
He's in there a fair amount on passes. We do our due diligence on that, and we got to keep doing that. You know, as we go forward, make sure that we're balanced that way.
Mike, are there defensive players that you have to account for on every play, otherwise they can really be disruptive? Is that how you view Ryan Kerrigan?
Oh, yeah. Ryan Kerrigan's a tremendous player. Not only is he skilled, but he, you know, has a high motor. You know, he's got elite competitiveness, and you know that he'll play to the echo of the whistle. So, you know, we got our hands full with him. You know, like a lot of these guys on defense, they're playing really well on defense right now. So it's another challenge for us.
Hey, Mike, V was forced in early again. How difficult is that for an offensive lineman who hasn't prepared to start? It's kind of thrown into the mix versus understanding,
right,
preparing you're going to start.
I guess I would say this. It is difficult, but everybody needs to be prepared to play. So V, to his credit, is prepared whenever his number is called because he never knows exactly when that time might come. And you know, he was able to go in there and play well enough to give us an opportunity to win, which against that guy is a tremendous task. I mean, Clowney is an elite defensive end, an elite pass rusher. I think if you asked any tackle in the league who's played against him, they'd say the same thing. So V really did a nice job.
A lot of your some of your big plays on Sunday were a result of rub routes. How much goes into the receivers fine-tuning those so that they're not called for penalties? And
a lot. I mean, you get what you emphasize, and, you know, that's a play that we've practiced a lot, have a lot of reps on, have a lot of confidence in. Guys have confidence in the play when it comes in, know how to run it, and, you know, we're able to execute it, like you said, and get some big plays out of it.
Mike is back this week. How do you guys integrate him into the offense? It seems like
I think it's too early to speculate on that. I mean, we haven't even seen him at practice yet.
Do
How has Wiz played at left guard since coming back to Carolina?
Wiz done a great job, just like we were talking about V a moment ago. You know, Coach Stoutland, Eugene Chung, those guys have done a great job and preparing, you know, the entire unit throughout the course of the year. Injuries happen in this league, and guys know that they got to be ready. That's their opportunity when they go in. They got to play at a high level to so that the offense can continue to function. And Wiz has versatility. He can play guard, can play center. He's plugged in at both spots and very valuable on the offensive line for us.
Mike mentioned Alshon's unique catch radius earlier. And Nick's willingness to throw it up and let him make plays. Is Nick any more willing to make those kind of throws than Carson?
I couldn't say that, no. I wouldn't say that. I think we've just seen a couple examples of that in the last couple of weeks where those guys were able to do that. So it's highlighted a little bit.
Doug said that he may or may not have reached out to Matt Nagy in Chicago. Have you talked to any of your old colleagues or players?
Coach Fangio, yeah.
What did you say?
Need your best this week. yeah.
Like the fourth down calls, do you feel like you know when Doug's going to make the decision to go for it? Like, do you work long enough with him to kind of anticipate his thinking?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we get close, you got to be thinking that there's a pretty good chance that we will go for it. So always prepared, you know, for fourth down. And, you know, that's a strength that Coach has, that his willingness and his trust in the players to go for it in those situations.
Do you think it infuses players with confidence?
I think so. I think it does. You know, you always see when you watch games, the guys, you know, players usually want to go for it. But, you know, sometimes the situation doesn't call for it. So making sure that we're smart about it. And we've done a good job on fourth down.
You mentioned last week how Nelson was kind of an unsung hero, so to speak. What do you attribute the production of this past game to?
What I attribute it to? I mean, like we talk about in a lot of weeks, sometimes the ball finds you, whether you're first in the progression or fourth in the progression. It just it's hard to determine. You call a play based on, you know, the coverage that you know expect to get, and often it doesn't work that way. So you have to find answers, and that's why there are progressions, and that's why you know, we spend so much time practicing. But it's a credit to him, again, as a guy who's completely committed to this team and to whatever it takes to win. And, you know, he stepped up for us big, and obviously that touchdown was huge in the game.
Did Fangio commit to giving his best?
Oh, yeah. I think he does that on a weekly basis. So it was really in jest, but he's a good friend, and they've had a great season. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.